And it says Goran Sach. Goran says this, S-C-H-A-C-H. Now, it's Skak or Sach or what, I'm not sure. It's wrong about the Holy Land. Now, listen carefully. Rabbi Eliezer Sach, spiritual leader of Degel HaTorah, that will be a group over there, maybe political, erred when he said that the Torah took precedence over the land of Israel. Former Ashkenazi chief rabbi Shlomo Goren said last week. Now, the Ashkenazis are the ones that seem to be talking the loudest and the most. And they're the ones that literally claim to be more Jewish than the others. And the others are the Sephardim, which come from the south part, which is around the Mediterranean and in those particular areas. Now, I can be really wrong on this, but my own feeling on this subject, well, a little study I have done, the Ashkenazi are not the true children of God near as much as the Sephardim, because I do believe that the Ashkenazi come from the Bulan tribes, if that's the Khazar tribe under King Bulan, when they adopted the Jewish religion as their religion because they were going into complete physical chaos through what is called phallic or sexual worship. And so, if we're going to have an opinion that is more correct than another opinion, I would look for the Sephardim. I would not look to the Ashkenazi. You understand what I'm saying? The Ashkenazi to me is what they call the Ashkenazi Jew, the Wall Street that Brother Branham didn't think too much of. Now, I'm looking at this from a historical viewpoint, but as I say, nobody can prove the point. But you see, Sach here says, and he's a spiritual leader, he said, the Torah, which is the law, the real books of the Bible, actually going back to the first five, but then it goes on to the other prophets, took precedence over the land of Israel. But the Ashkenazi, he says no. Now, referring to Sach's widely publicized speech the week before last, in which he castigated the labor movement, specifically kibbutzism. Now, that's socialism, where they work on farms together, which you will not find in the Word of God. Right? You can't. Every man in his own vine, his own tree. So, all right, we're listening to two different voices here. Now, especially kibbutzism, for their abandonment of Jewish tradition. Goren said that the land of Israel was the basis of the entire Torah of Israel. You hear what we're saying now? One person says the Torah takes precedence over the land, and the other fellow said, now hold it. No land, no Torah. See? You follow? All the commandments were to be fulfilled in the land of Israel, Goren said, adding that the Talmud specifically forbade giving up even an inch of the land. Now, why does he quote the Talmud? It's not the Talmud that says that. It's the Torah. The land was meted out according to God, according to inheritance, just the way God wanted it. And that's why you have the law of redemption, so you could get that land back. And they weren't to cede it to anybody. So now, who's talking wrong? It's not the Sephardim, it's the Ashkenazi here. And I don't want to sound too rough, but see, I went into this thing when I was a kid. And there's a lot of things in here that just make you wonder. Now, such a statement, Goren concluded, was thus contrary to Halakha. Now, who cares what Halakha is? I don't even know the term, but it's some term that has to do with their doctrine, no doubt. Well, they're wrong. The former chief rabbi conceded that Sach was a great sage. Jesus was a great prophet, but you know, he sure wasn't a Messiah. Notice this. Goren said he could not understand what was in Sach's mind when he made the statement. In other words, here's a man completely devoid of understanding of a statement made by this other rabbi when he said the land is subject to the Torah. This other man, vice versa. Okay, we keep reading. Last week, President James Herzog asked the Jerusalem Post to point out that in his radio broadcast on March 30, he did not criticize Rabbi Sach either explicitly or implicitly. His remarks on the contribution of the kibbutz movements to the building and defense of Israel were a response to his own emotions at the Yigal Allen memorial ceremonies early last month. What do you do with the fact that three times a year, all males went up to Jerusalem? Never once in history was Israel attacked while those males went to Jerusalem. Now, the point what I'm looking at is this. God's own word said that if Israel left the word, the land would spew them forth. Now, let's just think a little bit. There's a lot of truth in what this other fellow's looking at, though. He says, hey, you got to be back in the land before the promises of God are true to you. That's true. They're supposed to be in the land. But the way they left the land was being false to God, false to the word, because Logos and Rhema is one and the same. Jehovah and his word is one and the same. You can't change it. They're interchangeable. Now, these people know this if they studied their own rabbis, because what I'm getting at is I have studied some of the things the rabbis have said, and I can pick this out because it is true. The Jews literally believed that God and his word were identical. Not this junk where they separated. Brother Branham used Rhema and Logos interchangeably, so therefore it's interchangeable. Now, if anybody denies it, I'm sorry for you this morning. You better get your heart right with God, because there's something wrong with you. Sorry. It's your tough luck, not mine, because we've taught that here time after time after time. Now, Jesus was born in Israel. Joseph had his bones taken back. See? Jacob wanted his body taken back, because there's where the resurrection was. They are associated with the soil. Jesus was associated with the soil. Mount Zion is associated with the soil. There is an association, but I want to ask you a question. What brought the soil? The Word of God. So you don't put a precedence on creation. You don't put the emphasis on the creation. You put the emphasis on the Creator, and you respect creation to the end that God created it. And you'll never respect God without the Word. And at this time, you can see Israel is in bad shape. Because as Brother Branham said so clearly, they are there because of politics. But it doesn't matter who pulled the strings and who got them in, they're there. And the day's going to come when they're going to say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And you're not going to worry about the land. Because until they come right back to the Word, it isn't going to do them any good. Because the very land of Israel is going to get burnt over, the same as America and every place else. It's got to be renewed to bring a bride back for 1,000 years of further sanctification. So you see, they make a very big mistake. But everybody makes mistakes except for us. How? By a prophet. You get your revelation right, you get your priorities right, you understand then how to truly worship in spirit and in truth, and all these other things begin to move in. Now, believe me, we do not denigrate God's creation. We are a part of it. We are a part of the earth. But look, if it weren't for that seed, which brings forth a body from what God dictated, commensurate to it, we wouldn't even have this. But down the road, there's another body from this which is truly commensurate with the truly redeemed soul and what God has in mind. So put your mind on the Lord and understand he's one with his word. See, Israel hasn't even got it yet. I'm sorry, a lot of our folk don't either. But one day, we trust it'll all be exactly right. Okay. Thank you. shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be gathered together in your name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, at this particular hour, to praise you, to worship your Lord, and yet even above that is to know the word whereby we may properly worship you in spirit and in truth, to know you, Lord, in at least some measure, perhaps approaching even more and more to the day when we know you as you know us in that particular sense you've granted, Lord. And we pray our knowledge has increased. The revelation, Lord, has become more pervasive. And our lives, therefore, Lord, more one with yours. Sanctify us wholly by your word today, Lord, because we know your word is truth. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, by thoroughly studying, which we have been doing word by word, Brother Branham's message on Satan's Eden, it's my confirmed understanding that the mystery of iniquity spoken of in the book of 2 Thessalonians, which started, Brother Branham said, under the first seal and in the first church age amongst the people by spirit that manifested only in deeds, then later took over men, leaders in the church, especially at Nicaea, coming to the place where the crown was placed upon the person's head, which could not be placed upon a spirit, showing that this Nicolaitan spirit, which was to control the laity, to control people, came up through six church ages, through the various churches, all through the Christian religion, all over the world. And it will incarnate itself, according to 2 Thessalonians, and be known as the man of sin. Now, this will be that spirit of Satan that at this time is known as the son of perdition because of gift ministries that are in the churches, but they're void of the word of God, and therefore they are simply gifts allowed to have their part. Now, this son of perdition spirit will one day indwell the highest figure of religious authority and become the beast, the very same one that overtook Eve and Adam in the Garden of Eden through his subtlety. And he will, of course, head up his own Eden, which he's coming into now rapidly after this 6,000 years of human history. Now, my point in bringing this to you is to set forth that this series that we have studied, and others, of course, which Brother Branham brought us, is well documented from Scripture to show how this evil spirit has manifested itself through the ages and by methodical progression has continued in its pursuit of worship, that personal worship unto Satan, and is at this time about to take over the whole religious world through the church system. And it is a program of total deceit, of misrepresentation, until Satan is mistaken for God and Satan receives worship and places himself above all except the bride and God himself, though that is done materially because they usurp the position, even though they really don't have a position, that church and Satan, as Brother Branham said, bluff it. Although at the end time it is not so much a bluff. It's an actual physical takeover. So this is what we've been looking at, and we're continuing to look at it this morning. And we want to revert back just a little bit to number 18, which was last Wednesday. And there we noted that when the serpent convinced Eve to listen to him, certain various changes took place in her mind as to who she was and consequently then as to her actions. And then you can see where those actions led her and Adam and have been leading the human race. Now, he convinced Eve to listen to him, and the first and a change you'll notice is that she forgot her identity under the influence of temptation. He said to her, he said, now, you'll be as gods. And of course, gods, in the literal sense of John 10, and Brother Branham's exposition of it, taking from the Psalms, is that gods are those to whom the word comes. So he was baiting her to believe that the word of God could come to her because of who she was. She would be just like a prophet. There's your first prophetess. But it goes beyond that even. It goes to the fact that where he said, you will be as gods. Now, let's be honest with ourselves. If Adam was a son of God and Eve was a daughter of God, then generically and genetically, even though there's a manifestation of flesh, essentially, Adam and Eve would be gods already. So, she, in this temptation, under that influence, literally denied her real identity as to her essentiality. But even at the time she denied her identity as to her essentiality of literally being a part of the God race, because she was a part of God according to that life, this did not make her any less what she was, but she destroyed a position that she already was in and was commensurate with her being that daughter of God, which she was co-equal with her husband, and they together co-equal with God in the governance and the governing of the earth. But you see, she lost out by denying her true identity. She defaulted on the truth of her reality. Brother Brown spoke of that black slave in America that was so different from all the other slaves. The owner would not part with him at any price. And the man began questioning as to why this one slave was such an outstanding character. And he said, well, you see, he was born the son of a king in Africa, and he's never forgotten who he is. Eve, under temptation, defaulted in her position. Now, the beast told her that she and Adam would become as gods or children of God, a part of the God family and God race. And they already were. And every child of Adam is also a part of the family, being a part of God by the begetting of God. Now, you can see how revelation deteriorates into a lie when one believes one word changed. So, it wasn't that she lost the reality of who she was. She lost her identity in the earth and the universe as to her position. That is why you find in Scripture talking about God adopting. And the carnal mind, especially the legalist Pentecostal mind, because they're the worst offenders, having come out of the Nazarene and Methodists, which are terrible, terrible offenders, they say, see, we were children of the enemy and God adopted us. That is ridiculous. The word adoption means to place. And by the rebirth, you are acknowledged as to what you are and have always been. As Brother Branham said, and this is going to go like a lead balloon to those who do not understand the Scripture, and even if they do, they won't understand this. He said, there'll come a time when you realize you weren't saved the day you thought you were. You always were. In other words, how could a part of God be lost? You see? Well, this is very tough thinking. But if you read Ephesians, not with the open mind of a cesspool, with the open mind that the Spirit of God can anoint you, will come up with your answers. So we were in Him before there was a speck of stardust. See? Every child in Adam, remembering God breathed into Adam the breath of lives. The Scripture said he became a living soul. Was he a dead soul before God breathed into him? Brother Branham said that Adam was a spiritual being, spiritual figure. In him was male and female. Then God put that into a human vessel. Well, I understand that Adam was already living. How could he be a living soul? Because now he was able to propagate and bring forth all those lives from the stream of life. As in Adam all died, even so in Christ all made alive. But they were in Christ before. And what was it that died? The body. You think Adam didn't go to the place he was meant to go and take up a theophonic form? But he had to wait to come back for a body. Now, whether Adam has got that body, don't ask me, because whether he made a part in, whether he was in the first part of the first resurrection, I don't know. I know Abraham was, and Isaac, Sarah, Rebecca, those, Job, along with Jesus, Joseph. But if you're going to ask me, what about Reuben and those men? They might come up in the second resurrection, be part of the foolish virgin outside. I don't have the answers. All I know is the answer the Bible said. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them which are his. But I do know the Bible said, as in Adam all died. Now, you see then, she, by temptation, lowered herself. Now, this frame of mind now forms a false doctrine of relationship to God by their disassociation from family relationship, confuses the new birth and adoption, and places an unwarranted emphasis upon works. The emphasis then by association with God then comes by works, not by life. All right, disassociation from family relationship makes a confusion of the new birth. Okay, let's go to Galatians, the fourth chapter. And because you are sons, verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Father, Father, wherefore thou art no more a servant. Now that sounds like a lot of hogwash. He says you're a son, but now you're not a son. It's not what it's saying. It's because you are sons. Placed now, no longer a servant. In other words, worship is getting continuously back to where God had it, which was family, father and children relationship. How many homes are there here this morning? You people came out of where every morning you got up. Oh, great Father, my Father. You're talking about your own father now. You are a great figure. You know, yeah, it never was in your heart to talk to a decent parent, structured into some kind of idol or something that's far off. Eve blew this in the garden. Now Paul says, look, servitude and worship in that regard is a thing of the past. You are now, as John says, in fellowship in the light. And we're getting closer. I've been talking family for 8 years about now. I'm afraid we're going to blow it. I get carping all the time from some people. One day I'm going to mention some names and say, stand up beside me here. Get out of your chest. Get off your chest. And put a finger on me. You can't do it. Not one in this building or out of it that's heard my voice did not have the right hand of fellowship extended in the love of God. Telling you the truth. Telling you the truth as I stand before God. We will blow it if we're not careful. But you've got to let your hair down. You can't be standoffish. You can't say, come be. Some of you have done it. Don't tell me you haven't. Some even talked of a church split. Shame on you. Where do you come from? I stand in fear, wondering, where are we going in the light of this word? God's Eden. Satan's Eden. I'm not excoriating anybody. I'm just bringing this up. Listen, because you are sons. God has sent His Spirit, not saying God, God, God. His Father, Father, Father. Acknowledging paternity. Without the baptism with the Holy Ghost, there cannot be a true acknowledgement of a relationship. It is the Spirit, the light hitting that little cell within us, waking it up. As Brother Branham talked of the eagle's cry when the little eagle was in the chicken pen. I belong to that. I'm a part of it. It's what we're looking at. Listen, let's go to Ephesians. The first chapter, 3-5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, in love, having predestinated us to the placing of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. He's talking about the bride singled out from the many, the wise and the foolish virgin already separated. So Brother Branham said, God does not simply, I take this one, leave that, I take this, I leave that. No! It was already done according to a plan. Now, we have this understanding here. But people want to go to works. Oh, yes. Now it's an association by works. This is where families have their troubles. Father looks down, ordinary man says, well, now this is my first son, and he's a real credit. But this guy, he's like water in my blood, this third son. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Well, just a minute now. Is he your son or is he not your son? Well, I hate to be put on the spot, but what it is, he's a third-rate son. Huh? I ask you a question again. Is he your son or is he not your son? Has your wife had an affair? Nah, she hasn't had an affair except with me. Then he's your son. Well, yeah, that's my son. Well, let's read some scripture. Romans 4:1-4. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now listen, unless you are ordained to believe, you will never believe, and only sons are ordained to believe. Now the first thing, Satan came in here and he disrupted that. That's why Brother Branham said there's only one sin, and that's unbelief. Everything else is a manifestation or an attribute of it. Romans 11, I believe it is, and chapters in verse 6, and if by grace then it is no more works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works then it is no more grace, otherwise works is no more works. So therefore, the association by works is dead. As I said the other day, David was no less a son of God in committing adultery and killing the woman's husband than when he was getting Psalms to write down for all generations. Say, now, Brother Vail, what it is, you see, the man had lapsed. And what it is, now hold it! A horse kicks you in the head, so it's no longer a horse. You've got to be sick this morning if you can't see what I'm saying. I, as a person, can kill, murder, rape, and do a million things. It does not change my essentiality. I'm still a human being, though acting like a mad dog. If you didn't have representation back there, you don't have it now, period. My sister got to get the cobwebs out of our brains because we're associated by works. Oh, I'm a real Christian today because I did lovely, lovely things with the Lord and for the Lord. Yes, yes, yes. And tomorrow somebody tricks you, fall flat in your face, and you're a very bad Christian today. Yes, yes, yes. I can feel my soul deteriorating. I can feel that spark of life going. I can feel. Well, if I were you, I'd stop feeling. Time somebody stopped feeling, I would to God I could. Bet you don't go by feelings. Brother Branham said that baptism with the Holy Ghost without sensation. Amen. And if you get it that way, you keep it that way.
Amen.
Huh? If water never ever came in a rubber boot, then water never comes in a rubber boot. And if the Holy Ghost doesn't come with sensation, then it never comes with sensation. Well, I think I'd like to change that a bit. That's just what he did. You can't change the prophet's word. I don't care who it is. And neither I nor you, we cannot do it. Let's go to 1 John, the 3rd chapter. You know the 3rd chapter of 1 John. It has to do with this old fella Cain over there. First epistle, it says, "For this is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, the world hate you. We know we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God." Now what caused this whole ruckus? Two separate revelations. Two separate people from two separate fathers. That's what they were. Both heard from God and one denied it. And because he denied it and went his own way, then he killed his own brother. Why not? He always spit in God's face. There's no mystery that Cain killed his brother. It's a mystery he didn't kill him quicker. What do they have to do with each other? Nothing. Nothing. Not a thing. And now that they're one lump, they still don't have a thing to do with each other. God told us not to be unequally yoked. How could we be yoked to God and the devil at the same time? Brother Brand said there's no white blackbird, no drunk sober man. Why do we try to make it then? No sinner Christian. There's no sinner Christians, isn't there? See? You've got to stay within the Word. These are two different people entirely from two different sources. But remember, as the beast came from the earth, so did man, so therefore this sperm could mingle with Eve's egg and from the same earth bring forth a hybrid. And he had a hybridized soul. There was no place in it for the Word of God. John 8. Or is it John 6? Doesn't matter. I think it's John 8. All right. Notice. Now, at this point of rejecting the position of sonship, Satan encourages her to rebel against God and no longer work with the Rhema Logos God, her father, but to deny the Rhema and yet acknowledge the Logos. And the Logos acknowledge her. Well, that's what she wanted. And then on top of that, insist on her own Rhema to the extent that God must honor her Rhema, though attributed by Satan. That was like a Philadelphia lawyer, wasn't it? Anybody catch it? You're a pretty smart cookie. I'll read it again. Listen, notice now. Here. At this point of rejecting her position of sonship, Satan encourages her to be a real feminine woman lib. She rebels against God and no longer will work with the Rhema Logos God. She won't work with the living God manifested, giving her the Word. And yet, even though he's her father, she will deny the Rhema, deny the Word of God, and yet she will acknowledge God. She'll do it. Knowing there is a God. And on top of that, she will insist, make an insistence for her own Word, though Satan gave it to her. Then she wants God to acknowledge it. Now, am I telling you a lie, or is that exactly what happened? That's exactly what happened and is in the church today. She got it from the devil. Now, by reasoning, Adam and Eve, they consider they are children of God by creation. Now watch this. They go from begetting to creation. They deny Ephesians 1 and 3. But they still admit they are children of Adam. That's the people right in this world today. And they are that by virtue of the fact that Adam then is the firstborn by creation. Now listen, if you're firstborn, you are entitled to 50% of the assets of the Father. That's right. That's the Word of God. Don't fool with it. Now, don't you find that in the church today? We are sons of God by creation. Hallelujah. We speak in tongues like the son of perdition. We cast out devils. We magnify the Lord. We love the Lord. Now, here's my little black book here, though, that's got all the doctrine. I wish it did. I just got another Bible up here. They'll speak their own word, and they'll tell you that millions now living will never die. We're all sons and daughters of God, and even the Pentecostals are going to have to come to the place or die for it, and they're not too many going to die. And say, look, it doesn't really matter what you believe. It really matters who you believe. And that will take in the Mohammedans and just about everybody else, because when you boil it down, they all boil it down to one spirit. They boil it down to a spirit. And so they're saying we are co-owners with God. We are going to inherit the earth. Satan gave her that promise, and by doing it, he defrauded her of her inheritance. Now, are you going to tell me this morning this church is going to inherit the earth? Oh, we believe, Brother Branham, we believe, we're going to inherit the earth and disavow the word that Brother Branham brought? All the churches around here preaching that their presence is just a doctrine like serpent seed. And you don't major in a minor. And Brother Branham said, it's the main thing. Where are these preachers preaching from? They say they're quoting Brother Branham. I've been criticized for not quoting him when I quote him. I quote him. The Lamb took this, approached the Father's throne. He took the book. He ripped the seals off. And he clanged upon his Father's throne. But I'm repudiated in Europe and all over the world because I quote the prophet. What's coming out of these churches? Brother Branham talking about the presence. He said the camera vindicates the presence. That's the main thing. What I'm trying to say, it's his presence with us. There it is right there. Not with you and me. Not your baptism, my baptism, in case we got it. There. Want to read it? Page 102. Hebrews chapter 3. Paragraph 96. That's the main thing. What's the main thing right there? Oh no, says the preachers around here. That's a minor thing. What about it? Look me in the eye. What about it? Here it is. Come on, read it. I'm not lying to you. Come on, read it. Because you can't focus in, but if you could, here it is. Bold print. That's the main thing. But all through a high in different places, it's just, well, it's just a doctrine. I got a phone call last night, about 1 hour, from Africa. You ought to hear some of the things. It's interesting. Very interesting. They blew it. He fooled her on relationship to God. That's where the Roman Catholics come from. If any man dares to say he was born to the end of an assured salvation, he's anathema. And yet a Pentecostal preacher named Lester Sumrall said the Roman Catholic Church believes in predestination because he read an excerpt from Augustine. I don't think he knows too much Roman Catholic doctrine. The Catholic Church would be dead if it believed that. Who'd need the Pope? Where would all the money come from that prays you out of purgatory? They'd say, Popey old boy and priest old fella, come on down. We're sons of God. Who told you? The Bible did. Watch it. We wrote the book, and we wrote it very peculiar because it takes a special priesthood to tell it to us. They'd lose it, wouldn't they? Everything they stood for. All right, now listen. Satan defrauded them of what they were and possessed, and then promised to give it to them. Yeah. Now listen, this is the first woman made. Adam is the first man made. Straight from the image of God. Straight from the face of God. And your food. And you say the world won't be fooled by this? He said, listen, you aren't what you think you are. She said, do tell. She was all ears. And mouth. What was in between, God knows. It sure wasn't the word. Something happened to the word that she got. She listened. And he said, now listen, he said, you can be, he said, somewhere in the vague caverns of her heart and mind, there was a voice that was yearning unto God. And Satan came and said, listen, he said, I'm going to tell you all about that. He said, you can be, but you're not. And you can have this. Just what you're looking at, but he said, you can really have it. See? She denied God and followed Satan. You mind going to 2 Peter, the second chapter concerning this end time? But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you. Now, William Branham was the prophet, and every fivefold minister will teach. There's no evangelist cannot teach. There is no pastor who does not teach. There is no teacher who does not teach. There is no apostle who does not teach. There is no prophet, fivefold manner, that doesn't teach. And they will teach what William Branham taught. They're supposed to. And they will go around perverting it. Like one fellow runs around the world, he's got a female Holy Ghost. They say, well, Brother Vail, the man says he believes just like you do, so you must believe it too. I said, no, you're wrong. Find me where it's on a tape. Find me one place I ever said it. I said, I might have illustrated, as the sperm and the egg come together in a human being, so does the Spirit of God come to that little life which is in you. And that would be designating then a sperm, the spora in here, as an ovum. Which I don't think I've ever done that, but I could do it and get away with it if I explained it thoroughly and said, now hold it, this is an example. And if the right sperm didn't come, and the right egg was there, that sperm would go right back. In other words, you could not miss the Holy Ghost if you tried. Can't do it. It's all by election. Now listen. These false teachers among you probably bring in damnable heresies, even saying no to the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now it says right there that at the end time, the one knocking at the door, I want to come in. That's just a minor. I hope I scorch some of you. I won't stand before God with blood in my hands. Your blood, I can tell you that. Because if that isn't God, the picture of God, what is it? You say, now you're a Catholic. You've been on a doggone good one, too. And the best kind, right back to the beginning. Here is the beginning of manipulation or politics by sinful wisdom. Right in the Garden of Eden. Manipulation, which is politics. By the census. You ever hear the word census? We took a census. Politics. Aha. David took a census. And because the people allowed it, God destroyed multitudes. Don't fool with the word of God. It's not politics. Satan manipulates even Adam. Eve tries to manipulate God. Let's go to Revelation chapter 13. Let's read part of it. Verse 11, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon, ecclesiastical and military. Political, you can see his politics. He extended, he exercised all the power of the first beast before him and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. That's the Roman Empire. He doeth great wonders, so he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth the sight of men. Deceives them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell upon the earth, that they should make an image to the beast that had the wound by the sword and did live. Politics, there it is, see, power. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast. The image of the beast should both speak and cause the men who would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And there you see, there's a whole new empire rose up, coming right out of America. He causeth all rich and poor, great and rich, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark on the right hand of the forehead, to do his will and think his thoughts, that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Organization and your little old credit card and the whole bit. I'm not saying credit cards are not mark beast. I'm just saying it all works in the number system. Roman Catholic Church and everything else is all worked in there in a political computerized system. Without the computer, it couldn't be done. They can pull a dossier right now in America here. 20 seconds is all they got to have. Here is wisdom. Let him understand and count the number of the beast. For the number of the man, he's 666, which is the number of Rome, the Pope. Now you can see right here, this is manipulation. And it started in the Council of Nicaea when the church accepted political and military backing. And America came over here and said, cease and desist from either. But now, politics has gone into religion and forbade us to have freedom of thought. Yeah. Today the church, typed by Eve, is completely manipulated by Satan through a priesthood and the entire church political. Its political body claims to manipulate God. She speaks and God listens and Jesus promotes it. The triple crown, heaven, hell, and purgatory. Mary is ascended into heaven, and we love Mary, and we will talk to Mary. That's necromancy. That's the highest form of spiritism, talking to the dead. And we will talk to Mary, and she will talk to Jesus. God will hear the church. Heil Hitler. Politics. Come on, it's politics. Who are you trying to kid? It's manipulation. I read a little bit in my art magazine, like, you know, the Jerusalem Post. And in there, the rabbis admitted that ever since the beginning of time, man has tried to manipulate God because God manipulates man. It's true, but it's not true. God cannot be manipulated, although people think he can. Brother Branham preached a sermon, does God ever change his mind about his word? No. Does God ever change his ways? No, he doesn't. There's no way he can do it. He can't do it. Yeah, they claim to manipulate God. Now, since the majority of people believe this, tell me, how can Satan miss being worshipped? You know something? Judas manipulated God. Yeah. Judas was reprobate. He had to be serpent seed because the devil got in him. The Bible says one of you is diabolus. Not one of you is a devil. One of you is the devil. And the Bible says after the rites of communion, after the rites of communion, the Bible distinctly says that Satan entered into Judas. So there he was, completely in him, and had taken him over. Now, at that particular time, Judas had gone out with gifts of the Holy Spirit and had raised the dead and healed the sick and done all manner of things he's supposed to do. So therefore, he manipulated God in that particular sense. What about Matthew 7? Many will come in that day, say, Lord, have you not cast out devils, prophesied in thy name, and done whatever works? I never knew you. Manipulating God. The church is wrong. The church claims headship of God, but has satanic rhema. How can you have headship of God and have Satan's word? The centrality or center of worship in the church as in Eden is satanic rhema, as though it's from Logos, which it was, but it was changed in the transmitting thereof. You know something? When you understand this, you will understand how that this book here could not be wrong. No matter how people try to change it, no matter what they try to do, this word still comes down, and a prophet come right down and be 100% with him. This book is a different book, brother, sister. This book is the one book that proves itself, because this book has a life in it, and it proved itself. The centrality of or center of worship in the church as in Eden is satanic rhema, satanic word, as from Logos. They water it, dilute it, they change it. It is just waiting for Satan to incarnate himself in the same religious figure that once was back there at the time, you know, of Judas. And in the garden, the beast. The beast in the garden was a real theologian. Yeah. The beast in Revelation is also one. But with the philosophy and politics developed over 6,000 years, Satan's Eden is utter corruption, with its kingdom members rotting from AIDS while they stand on their feet and commit their horrible sins of sexual uncleanness. And there is only one way for God to clean it. That is by fire. The question arises, and we can proceed to read now. The question arises at this particular time, how can we escape? How do we get to the true Rhema, which came from God, which is identified not only with God, but as God. Rhema and Logos being interchangeable. You don't think it is, look in your Greek Strong's Concordance. You'll find it interchangeable the way the Jews have always done it, the way William Branham has always done it, and the way we do it by the grace of Almighty God. The question rises, how can Eve escape? How can the bride escape? How can there be a bride, a virgin of God's word at the end time, whose centrality of worship is Jehovah Rhema Logos? That's it. And the Rhema came from William Branham, prophet of God, Elijah, who also called himself Elisha. Say, oh, Brother Vail, don't tell me that. Brother Vail just told you that, because he read it. That's the main thing. Well, if he made me an incarnated Elisha, is this guy for real? This stupid little uneducated backwater, jerkwater, hillbilly William Branham, is he for real? I knew it would get to him, yep. Too big a ministry, yep. They do it every time, yep. They do it every time. What about the time they don't do it? Could this be for real? Well, if he made me an incarnated Elisha, if you didn't have faith to believe it, it'd never do you any good. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Elisha had twice the ministry of Elijah, and William Branham admitted that Jesus had more success in William Branham's ministry than he did in his own. Greater works. The centrality of worship, brothers, sisters, Jehovah Rhema Logos. The answer lies on page 13, paragraph 44, and we'll take a few minutes on this, and then, well, we'll take minutes on this. Brother Branham says, I have a message. And that must go to the people. Makes it very much misunderstood amongst the people. They think I'm against everybody. If they only knew I'm for everybody. I'm trying my best to bring them what is the truth. Now listen, just as it is laid on my heart. And the way it is laid in the Bible here, and I'm going to say right now, derisively, and you know I'm just being silly, who cares two bits about William Branham's heart? I can get 1,000 people say, well, God laid it on my heart, Brother Dale, and in my heart, he said that this wasn't so over here in Ephesians, this bit about... Well, you see, it's this way as it is in 1 Corinthians. As in Adam, all died. Even so, in Christ, all remain alive. You see, they all died in Adam, but now you got again in Christ. Now, how do I know they say that? Because I said it myself one time. Hogwash. What do I care two bits about William Branham's heart? How he feels in his heart. What's he saying? You don't know, do you? Remember, he said one time, I would sooner have a man right in his heart and wrong in his doctrine, than right in his doctrine and wrong in his heart. Only William Branham could talk about the heart and the word. Because you see, nobody understands how this lovely Jesus could take a bullwhip and smack those birds out of the temple. And the kind old priest show more love and sympathetic, empathetic, lovely attitude than this renegade, illegitimate, who called us a bunch of vipers and snake in the grass and whited sepulchres full of dead man's bone. My message is what's going to do the job to get the bride back. And I'm misunderstood and my message is understood. But they don't know where it's coming from. This is not the heart of a man who is talking because he's a nice guy like the late Norman Grubb. And I've told you this more than once. How sitting in the office of a doctor, I think it was a dentist, I picked up, yes it was, over here in Troy. I think the guy's name is Yoder, I think it is now. And on this desk, he must have been a full gossip businessman or something. And in here, Norman Grubb is telling that the greatest miracle of the 20th century, the greatest move of God, the most wonderful thing ever descended from the heaven is the ecumenical move, bringing us all together as brothers. And my prophet, William Branham, said it's the most insidious thing in all the world is binding the tares. Now, let not any man say that Brother Grubb didn't have a nice heart. Well, listen. If you want to look at a nice heart, look, don't look at Lee Vale, and please leave quietly and don't ever come back. Because compared to Norman Grubb, I would need a fireman's ladder to reach the 18th or 37th floor to look a snake in the eyes. I've read the guy. I know what I'm talking about. He has the evident essentiality by manifestation of what a true Christian is. And he's a liar. The truth isn't in him. The same old hogwash back in Cain and Abel's day. Now listen. I'm trying my best to bring them what is truth. Just as it's laid on my heart and the way it's laid in the Bible here. So I don't care two bits about your heart and my heart. unless there's an agreement with the Word. As Brother Branham said, as I understand this, I don't know where the quote is, but I was just told the other day by a friend of mine that's very deep in quotes. He said, Brother Branham said, the church at the end time would have true love. And I've been preaching that for years, but it's got to come out of the Word, because the love of God is shed abroad by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost can only come by the Word. So, the love of God must be definitive, as God Himself is definitive, and everything is definitive, even a gas, an inert gas. Before you could weigh it, you'd have to have instruments so delicate. You see, I wonder if that really does weigh. Oh, hey, what's this little piece of paper weigh? I don't want to rip it, but what's it a little bit weigh? They can weigh it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They can weigh it. It better be the Word that's in the heart. And God, listen, and God proves that to be the truth. So there's nothing else can be done about it. That my heart and God's Word is one. Huh? 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 Well, come on. David, a man after God's own heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against me. Didn't do too much good, did it? Oh, yeah. Never sinned against him. In the actual sense of the word, he sinned against himself by going into folly. But you can't change essentiality. And God proves that to be the truth right there by vindication, which is Deuteronomy chapter 18. You all know that. Now, Brother Branham's message is what? It is 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the chrusma, which is an order to be obeyed. And in 1 Corinthians 15, it tells you what it is. The church becoming subject to God. That's real church order, not putting gifts in a room. That's just to get the clutter out of the way. And if you can't do that, you'll never get the rest of it. You might not know it, but I think you'll know it when I tell you. I've been preaching church order this morning. I went plumb back to God. And brought us right down to here. And I've showed you what Satan is doing with his false church. We see the trail of the serpent. Made visible. I don't preach Brother Branham's sermon. I don't know what his sermon is. I got to preach more. I know one thing. He sure must have preached a good one. But we would have if we'd have found his notes. But I don't know. All right. Listen, either they look at it or they don't. Now, he tells you right here, I am standing here literally as a mediator. I am standing here as God's legate. I've been deputized to stand right there, and I am the difference between a bride restored and a bride not restored, because this is the way that God has of doing it. Do you think the church is going to like that, or any organization? Do you think most people in this so-called brand of message are going to like that? Oh, no, because they got to look themselves. Hey, I got something to do with this. I ain't got nothing to do with this. I wasn't there. I didn't know that could happen. I didn't know it had happened. What do I got to do with it? What he said here. Either look at it or don't look at it. Well, I'm looking at it. Yeah, I got no problem. I like it. I wish I could get close to it. Get the rapport. Not a feeling, but a spiritual understanding that goes far beyond feelings. Goes right to the place where there aren't any feelings. Other than the awesomeness before Almighty God, which lies in the soul and is an attribute of the soul and is not an attribute of the flesh. You see why? Because bless your little hearts, when I get out of here, I'm going to really know I just love and worship the Lord. And not going to have anything to do with my flesh. This flesh is an obnoxious little old creature. The Lord shall descend with the shout. The Lord shall descend with the message. And he will give his message to his prophet. This is Revelation 10 and 1 and Revelation 10 and 7. And they get together. And the prophet brings the word, which is the seven seals and the seven thunders under the seventh seal. So the whole mystery of God is revealed. And you don't dare add a word or take a word from it. Now, he said, this is laid on my heart. Okay, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. I always promised myself we're going to get through in a hurry. Yeah, we do get through in a hurry. We get through in a hurry with the first part, and the last part's always left for the next time. Or whatever it is, I don't know. All right, 2 Thessalonians. And it's the first chapter. Notice what it says in verse 7. And you are troubled, rest with us. This brother Branham said, this is the relaxation of the seventh seal. When the Lord shall be revealed, toward Jesus shall be revealed in heaven, these mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's your judge, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction in the presence of the Lord, and the glorious power when he shall come to be glorified in these saints. Now what does he do? At the time he comes to be glorified in his saints, that's the appearing. He is judging the world and condemning them. They both go on at the same time. This is that message. Now listen to it. When he shall come to be glorified and to be admired in all them that believe. Now watch. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Now Paul says it's in this day of the seventh church age, the seventh seal, the seven thunders, that his testimony is believed. Brother Branham said, just think, the same pillar of fire that brought the word to the Apostle Paul is here revealing it. When he got beyond the curtain of time, he said, I preached what Paul preached. They said, we're resting on that. Well, hold it. That's stupid. Hallelujah. We're resting on the blood. Let's talk in tongues a bit. Hallelujah. We're resting on the baptism. Hallelujah. Let's talk in tongues a bit. Come on, Pentecostals. It didn't say that. You know why? Because that was part of it. But it wasn't all of it. Now, come on. I don't give two bits if we ever get out of here today or tomorrow or the next day. Let's understand this. This is not a piecemeal religion we're talking. This is not a piecemeal message we're talking. This is message, period, where time and eternity come together and our bodies become immortal and we get out of here. Paul the Apostle said, I'm worried about you, virgin. You got something in your mind. Back here, in this day, there's a people who have the virgin word again. Now look at yourselves. What I won't start with is because you ain't that good looking. My Lord. I just didn't look in the mirrors, look at you guys. Almost. If not 100%. Get a little nose bob, help with it. Get quite a little nose bob, help quite a lot. See, I'm trying to get you, looking at you, what are you? A product of 6,000 years of degeneracy. But inside is a speck of God. The essentiality has never changed. All it requires now, pure and simple, is the virgin mind, which is the greatest battle ever fought. And if you can't place that as number one, give up this morning. Come and see me privately, and I'll talk if I think I got the time. But you ain't getting nowhere. If that's just majoring in a minor. You don't really believe that's a picture of him, do you? Really, I'm not going to say it's a picture of him, but let's put it this way. Brother Branham called it Shekinah glory. The word Shekinah is not in the Bible. It means the glory that's attendant upon the personal presence of God. So he's behind that. He did it. He made the light to shine. The darkness comprehendeth it not. They either look at it or they don't. It's either a major or a minor. Shall I embarrass you this morning? It'd be kind of fun. I could say, raise your hand who believe it's a major. I'm not going to ask you to do it. Because you might lie from embarrassment. Not to raise your hand. Do you think that's a minor? So, Brother Bill, I just believe that really is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, like Brother Branham said. Well, my Bible said he created all things by Jesus Christ. Where are you going this morning, child of God? You call yourself a child of God. Let's get down to business. See, you could still be a child of God. I could. But wandering in our doubts and our infirmities, still duped by the church system. This is thus saith the Lord of Deuteronomy 18. This is 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, 7 to 10, and also Revelation 10, 1 to 7, in its finality of the opening of the seals and the thunders. And don't tell me the seventh seal has not been opened, or it means the book would not have been opened. Because you cannot promiscuously open six and then say, well, we'll let the other be there. But we know what's in it. Without opening it. That's crazy. I've explained it, but I'll explain it again sometime, but not this morning. Now listen. Vindication is what the prophet is talking about. And when he talks about the heart, he's saying what Paul said, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made. Brother Branham said, I have the belief of the truth. And he stood there and God vindicated him. Nobody else can say that. Oral Roberts, Tommy Osborne, W.B. Grant, Hicks, fine men, no problem with them. No problem. They could stand there with gifts, but they couldn't stand with that. They couldn't look at, I know those fellas. I was around there. I talked to them. I don't care to talk to Orly anymore because whatever God gave me in that hospital, he sold us, so God didn't, you know, evidently he lost connection somewhere. No, listen, by their fruits you know them, and they're off the word. Let's face a Trinitarian dogma. They're either oneness or Trinitarian. They do not stand between the two, as Brother Branham told us to stand. I've got some little jottings down here that said turn to Hebrews 5. So I'll turn to Hebrews 5. Verses 1 to 10. Every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. Who can have compassion ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for he himself is compassed about with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought is for the people to offer for sins. In other words, a common sacrifice for all. And no man takes this honor himself, but he that's called to God as was Aaron. And that set up a lineage. So also Christ glorified not himself, he called to be made a high priest, but he that said to him, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. He said another place, thou art a priest, we have to order Melchizedek. Now this is when he first came forth as a light before the throne and began creating, God creating by Christ Jesus. Then down here now, things are coming to the place where he said, now hey, I'm going to get for further revelation, you are a priest, after the order of Melchizedek. Who in the days he fled and offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears on him was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered, and being made perfect, became the author of eternal salvation unto them all that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, that's exactly what we see there. Okay? Now, notice in verse 4, it says, and no man takes this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God is with Aaron. Now, he's talking about the highest offices that anybody could have, and the high office of priesthood had to be designated by Almighty God. And you know, a prophet has to be, it's a high office, it's the highest there is. It's above a high priest. It's above the high priest even. It's a great office. So he's got, that's got to be designated by God also. Now, notice in Galatians, Paul is speaking concerning himself, and he says in 6-19, which is not another gospel, but there may be some that trouble you, pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you that we've already preached, let him be accursed. As right on down the line, and he go over there into page 11, to the 11th verse. But I certify you, brethren, the gospel which you preach to me is not after man. I did not receive it of a man. I was not taught it by anybody, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ himself. For you've heard my conversation in time past on behavior in the Jew religion, how beyond measure persecuted the church of God, wasted, and so on. And verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me in my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach among the heathen, I immediately conferred on flesh and blood, went not to Jerusalem, and so on, but I went down to Arabia, and there I heard from God. Now this man could not be a prophet unless God called him, because that's what a prophet is. He's ordained before his mother's womb, before the foundation of the world. He fits in the picture. So now we got here the function of a high priest. And the function of a high priest is only good insofar as you've got a prophet. Or what are you high priesting to? Huh? Come on. The high priest doesn't have it. It's a prophet. Now, according to Jesus, is both high priest and prophet. He's prophet, first of all. So now Paul says, I'm a prophet. He said, I'm unique here. I've been cut out. Now, notice over here in Romans, the 15th chapter, and I love this one, he speaks of vindication. Because in here, he starts, nevertheless, brethren, verse 15, I've written the more boldly unto you, in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God. Now notice, he calls this, I'm getting very bold because of a certain grace of God, that I should be minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel to God, that the offering up of the Gentiles, that is the worship, might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And I tell you two things there. I brought something that was vital with the Holy Ghost. Oh, I got the Holy Ghost. Hold it right there. That's great. That doesn't end it. There's two things. See? Watch your twins. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in these things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about from Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now he tells you right there, I've been vindicated. Like William Branham. See? Vindicated for the job. Now, in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verses 1 to 15, and you already know what that already says there. That's about the fact that Paul came and preached the gospel in power. He was vindicated. And even then, when he preached, it had to be a revelation from God. Or they just turned away from it. They couldn't take it. Now, with that, we're going to go back to Hebrews, the 6th chapter of Hebrews, and we're going to read verses 13 to 20. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, swear by himself, saying, surely I'll bless thee, and multiplying I'll multiply thee. And so after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now he obtained the promise. What was it? The promised son in flesh. Now that son already was there somewhere. First of all, he was in Christ. Segregated. Then he came through the Adamic life, down through Adam, in order to form a body, which was a process of God creating himself in human flesh down the end of this line here, 2,000 years ago, dying for us, right? Okay, let's keep going. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability counsel, intervened or imposed himself and swore to Abraham, stood right there and said, surely as I am God, This is it. Is that any different? Tell me, is that any different? Well, you're back with a whole bunch of Baptists. Poor old Baptists. Don't need healing, don't need miracles, don't need nothing, because you see, we got the Bible. Well, I couldn't believe their Bible the way they preach it. Forget it. They got nothing for me. I've been all through their stuff. Had 6 weeks of an independent Baptist Bible school. That was enough for me, because that was enough for them. They were to throw me out, and I got it before they threw me. Too bad, you know. That bind two mutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. That's by God and His Word, and they're one. We might have strong refuge, who have fled for refuge. My strong consolation, see, relaxation, hope, encouragement, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and that which entereth into that within the veil. Now, that's us all over again, and it entered right within the veil. And Brother Branham said, to not enter the veil today is death. Going to come in or not? Well, you see, Brother Bill, I got the Holy Ghost too. I don't believe you don't believe that. You ain't got no Holy Ghost in my books. That's the only evidence I'll take that I've got anything. I believe it. Whether the forerunner is Christ, even Jesus made an order, a high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. In other words, the prophet turned mediator. Now, after William Branham's gone, what? The pillar of fire here to lead us to the millennium. Our Joshua is the Holy Ghost. Not man, God, but by prophet. That's how the word came down. Elijah was the Holy Ghost, came down. There it is. Now, through the prophet, prophet's gone, takes his man, not the spirit, going to lead us into. I'm going to ask you a question. Then who's sanctifying, who's mediating? Who's getting us by the contract of death that was placed upon us in Hebrews 9 and 27, point on a man wants to die, after that the judgment. Or is it 25? Doesn't matter, it's in there somewhere. 27 verse 10, Hebrews 10. All right, now, 17 verse. Wherein God willing, more abundantly, to show in His heirs a promise, the immediate of His counsel confirmed by an oath. Okay, let's go over here to the book of Genesis chapter 18, which Brother Branham continuously referred to as Hebrews 13 and 8, the God who never changes His ways as well as His essentiality. And Abraham saw these three men, he recognized the Lord, and he said, can I wash your feet and do so and so and so and so? And then over, notice in verse 17 to 21, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Shall I hide? Now listen, there are two things involved. The revealing of the Son coming in flesh and destruction. Did Brother Branham do less? No. No. So what's his message? It's the tail end. Everything gathered up, everything corrected, so virgin bride can now come back to a contact with God as it was in the Garden of Eden. And at this time, Satan's got his Eden. And he said, ah, witchcraft. Spirited. Uneducated hillbilly. Puffed up, ignorant little jerk. Just because he had a lot of miracles, it went to his head. And doesn't it go to everybody's head? All except theirs, of course. You know the meaning of sour grapes? It means they got some and you don't. Funny thing, a dog can tell sour grapes, but see, so-called Christians can. I had a collie dog, and I kept missing these purple Concord grapes. And I'd look out, and I didn't find any on the ground. And I said, who's cooking those Concord grapes? I look out the window one day, and here's my cute little collie dog with his pretty long nose going, shoop. No one bit. Shoop. He picked them exactly right and sweet. Even a dog can tell a sweet grape. But like God said, the birds of the air, they got a path that they travel. The oxen know the master's crib. But not people. No, nothing. Well, that a dog that knew good grapes. I guess he's smarter than I was for a while. Right? See, they don't want to see it. Because they've already sold out. Sold their birthright to some organization, some denomination, to tie their birthright, to get to heaven upon the basis of some organized religion, which Satan is the head of every bit of it. How is he the head? By what they believe. Now listen, not as to a source, no, but as to its interpretation. That's the tough part. The Bible and stars, perfect word of God, gone into complete idolatry, heathens around the world. There is no place, they tell me, of any known tribe that anybody ever contacted but what had the signs of the zodiac down pat. I never went around the world, but I read what the book said. You read something. I got in my library out there. I think you're in the library back there, my own library. It's amazing. God never had an organized religion. Nimrod did, though. God never had an organized religion where the believers sold out. No, he doesn't have that. The believers don't sell out. A bunch of men interpret the word to them. They say it means this, it means that. God doesn't need an interpreter. He does his own interpreting. He doesn't need anyone else to tell him how to do it. He is sovereign. Now, therefore, 5 minutes, okay, we just need this. Now, one little point in here. God doesn't need an interpreter. See, he doesn't need to tell anyone how to do it. He is sovereign. He said how he would do it. That's the way he keeps his word. So, therefore, Brother Branham is saying, interpretation depends upon what God does and then what comes out of what God does. You know is right because it's done God's way. In other words, in Deuteronomy 18 again. Vindication. We're going to stop right there. Time's gone. And we'll start next Wednesday, by the grace of God, to take paragraph 46. We did pretty good. We got 3 paragraphs in. We take paragraph 46. No, we didn't get there. We got 2 paragraphs, only 2. Caught myself in a lie. We're going to go to paragraph 46, and there we'll talk about the difference between Matthew 7 and Deuteronomy chapter 18, because Brother Branham leaves the impression here that he's talking about Mark 16, exclusively, and he's not. So, Lord love you. I trust you begin to see what I said at the preliminary. The Brother Branham traces this all the way through to let you know exactly how it is that Satan gets worshipped at the end time, and he will be worshipped. You will see how the whole world goes after the beast. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. This is it. And you will see how very few escape it. And that's the story. Let's rise and be dismissed. Now, you're going to go who need to go, but we're going to have a little business meeting. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your goodness to us, to give us this time together. That we're able to be here, Lord, to hear your word, and I trust it has been your word given. No axe is to grind on my own. And if I were grinding an axe, I'd grind this axe. I must admit, I would like an axe to grind, and I would want it to be your axe, which you call a sword. And you also said, cursed is a man whose sword does not draw blood. And we know, Lord, in this last hour, there's going to be blood drawn over the world. It's going to run to the horses' bridles. We understand atomic action, reaction, all these things are going to take place. But the bride will be out of here. In the meantime, Lord, we know that we are not meant to be dumb dogs who cannot bark. We are not meant to be people who could not raise their voice and give forth the warning signal of our hour. We are not meant to be those who stand back and just simply say, oh yeah, that came to pass. But Lord, we are a part of it. And as a part of it, Lord, we believe there's got to be a life in every single person here that's a real believer, and that is going to come forth in a word. Just like Paul said, my testimony in that day. How in the world, Lord, could he say it? Yet there was not a life through the ages right down through this word. And now it's coming to the full fruition. And he spoke of that day when people would know about the man of sin, the son of perdition, now incarnated, going from ministries right into the minister, Satan himself, with these angels of light, provoking you, Lord, and all that believe in him, that you might come back with your saints, Lord, and eradicate all that which is upon the earth. Not that we're looking for that, Lord, but we know it's a part of your great purpose and plan that you do this, and all we can say is amen to it. Father, help us to be this morning on the right side by decision. Not to ask you, Lord, to be on our side. We don't want that, Lord. We're not asking you to be on our side, but Lord, we're saying we want to be on your side. How do we get on it? Anything we miss, Lord, that would put us off from being on your side, opening that door where you could come us up with us and do these things, Lord, we just want to get rid of it this morning. Clear our hearts and our minds of every obstacle. That's all we desire, Lord, because we know when we do, healing lies in this message. And every grace and goodness and those things we so desire, Lord. And I know we, above all, we desire to get back to Eden. And we know it lies in this message. We know it's got to. It's got to get back to Paul. So, Father, we thank you. Bless every single person here, Lord. Let there not be one of us who failed the grace of God. Let there not be one of us unsaved. Let there not be us carried away with the sleight of doctrine, the cunning of men. Let us not be, but let it be solid. Because we are solid. And it's time to go back to what you wanted from the original seed. And we live by grace, we're a part of it. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. World without end. Amen, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.